Good morning. Psalm 138 says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name. What a wonderful psalm of praise as we meet together here in church or online this morning.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Thank you, Debbie. So we are continuing in this series of the Ten Commandments, God's top ten. As you know, we've looked at 10 and we're moving our way down to 1. We're kind of taking an alternative spin on many of them as well, and not just saying it's a do not do, but actually what is the alternative of the do not? What are the positives about it? We've had that conversation about, are these rules simply to live by, or are they boundaries that actually set us free? Are they boundaries in our lives that give us the freedom to actually live our lives to the full? We saw that commandment number 10, coveting is idolatry because it replaces God. It consumes our thoughts. It becomes the center of our wills. We saw that bearing false witness, that concept of whether it's an outright lie, a half lie, an insinuation, or an excuse, encourages to have the think test, what we do or say before we do it. We looked at do not steal. We were encouraged to reflect, to repent, to make restitution, and to realign our lives. We looked at adultery. Marriage is different from friendship, other friendship groups, and other relationships, is to be kept pure. Do not kill. We hold to the sanctity of life, we hold to the truth that is contained in the fact that, as we already read from our psalm today, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that he has knit us together in our mother's womb. We looked at parents, honouring them, how to honour our parents or how to be good parents, and how church in our culture is like an extended family where we can bear the marks of what it means to show love intergenerationally. Last week we looked at Sabbath, about the ceasing to work. We saw that Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, that we need rest. And that in the Sabbath rest, our focus lifts to God. You can see through all of those that we've already looked at, that the focus is that we shift what it is that we're doing, and it begins to point towards God. We trust in his unfailing and unending promises, and that's the foundation for our lives that allow us then to move on with what our daily lives look like. And so today, we look at this one, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Let's just pray as we begin. Father God, help us to once again set our hearts before you. As we've just sung, that you would speak, O Lord, in this moment. That it would not be my words, but it would be by the power of your Holy Spirit present with us and amongst us, that we would see something new and fresh and move from this place transformed by your love and your grace today. In your name we pray. Amen. Like many of the other commandments, and we've said this, they're not always just what's on the surface or on face value about it. And I think in particular, this commandment is like an iceberg. What we see on the surface is not the entirety. Actually, it's the minimal part of what this commandment is actually all about. Because the vastness lies before the surface. I think many of us, whenever we hear this commandment, do not take the Lord's name in vain, we immediately think about someone who misuses God's name as a swear word. I remember being in a particular social setting one time where someone continually and constantly, at nearly the end of every sentence, used the Lord's name as a swear word. And it went in various different forms and various different contexts of how they used it, but it was constant and consistent in the conversation. And to the point where I think I turned around and said, "What? Who? Where is he?" And that started a whole other conversation about who Jesus is and about what I believed about him. I don't say I do that all the time, but there was a moment in me that kind of couldn't not say something. And so this commandment in Exodus chapter 20 says this. It's Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." That's a wee bit stronger than "don't take the Lord's name in vain," isn't it? The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. But the real issue with blasphemy, the real issue with people misusing the Lord's name, is not that in one sense, like I've just shared, where I would be offended by it, but rather it is dangerous for those who do it. Because the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name in vain. And in one sense, if we truly knew how awesome, mighty, glorious the Lord was, and we realize that in his name is all power, then we would not misuse his name. Because we would hold his name with a different kind of reverence. We would say that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. And we declare that Sunday by Sunday, week by week, day by day. There is power in the name of Jesus. Now, there's a wee moment where kind of the preacher in me really wants to go hell for leather and talk about the power that's in the name of Jesus. We know that. We know that his name can command so many different things. We see it in the scriptures. His name can command healing. His name can command the waves to cease. His name can command the very soldiers to collapse and fall down in the Garden of Gethsemane. There is power in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, and verse 21, as we read, as Debbie read it earlier, says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So it's more than simply using the name of Jesus as a command to the demons, to healing, to the wind, to the waves. It's more than simply using Jesus' name as a command. It's about knowing him. So simply paying lip service, not the words of the preacher, what it says in those verses that we read, simply paying lip service and saying that we talk about Jesus, we sing about Jesus, doesn't appear to be enough. We need to know Jesus. That's why blasphemy is the tip of the iceberg, I think, in this particular commandment, because so much more lies below it. So what is it that lies under the surface? As I considered this and thought about this, I thought about three things, that how we can misuse God's name. We can misuse God's name by having wrong ideas about who he is. We can misuse God's name by having wrong ideas about who he is. He is the great I am. Whenever Moses challenged him and said, whenever I go to Pharaoh, the greatest leader of the world, and I say that you're to let God's people go, Moses says, who am I going to say to the leader of the known world? Who am I going to tell him has sent me? And God says, I am. Because he needed nothing else after it. He is the great I am. His name carries weight. It carries significance. I'm not sure it has changed yet. Maybe it has. But if you look at many of your groceries, what's on some of the back of them, you'll find a royal crest or a royal seal, won't you? By appointment, it used to be appointment of Her Majesty the Queen, or now an appointment by His Majesty the Queen, that these are endorsed or used by the royal family. Therefore, they have the royal seal of approval. If we know Jesus, we have the royal seal of approval stamped on our lives. We bear his name, his image. Therefore, by having a wrong idea of who he is and what he has done for us, we are misusing who he is. His name is to be treated with respect. And from it we see love and grace and forgiveness flow into our daily lives. So we can misuse God's name by having wrong ideas about who he is. We can misuse God's name by living the wrong way. We are God's people. We gather together on a Sunday, as commanded in the Scriptures, to remember him. We talked a little bit about that last Sunday, remembering what his faithfulness to us. We gather as his people, marked differently from those around us, because we carry his seal and his purpose in our lives. We are his children. We bear his image and his seal. Therefore, we need to honor him by living for him, by being of the world but not in the world, by being a part of the community but being distinct within the community, by being the same as everybody else but yet known to be different than everybody else because of our decisions, our actions, and our words. We live differently. And thirdly, we can misuse God's name by worshipping in the wrong way. Not just gather to worship because that's what we do. That's a habit or that's a tradition. Rather, worship because we know that whenever we come together as God's people, he is present with us. And in his presence with us, he changes and marks us as something different and new. He shapes and molds us together. A diverse group of individuals come together with one purpose and a unity of heart to see Jesus as Lord. But sometimes, preacher included, you can be present in body but absent in mind. What did I just say? But yet, if God is present with us, the great I am, The one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or would even dare to imagine. The one who wants to mark us as different today. The one who wants to seal us and identify us as his own so that we can make a difference in the world around us. Then surely we would sit up and take notice and say, Lord, have your way. Speak, O Lord. We are listening. Rather than simply being on autopilot in our hymns or in our liturgy. When we say amen, do we mean it? Do we mean what that word literally means? That word literally means, so let it be, O Lord. So we can misuse God's name more than just being blasphemous in a swear word or in a curse word. We can misuse his name whenever we have wrong ideas about who he actually is. But whenever we live our lives in a way that does not honor him, or whenever we simply worship with an attitude of complacency. So do you recognize the power that is contained in the name of the Lord? Is there a chasm between what we proclaim and what we practice? Matthew 7, verse 15 says, watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. That's such a key verse for today. To watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Don't simply take what you hear as the truth. Take it back to God's word. Challenge it from there. Challenge what I say from there. What you hear on the internet and your feed and your news feeds and your streams and your podcasts, whatever it is, challenge it against God's word and find the truth there. But verse 16 says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. In other words, what we proclaim, is it in line with what we practice? Are we misusing the Lord's name? Are we misusing who we represent? Are we the sort of people that bring credit to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? Because not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only one, only he who does the will of my Father, he is in heaven. And he will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And I'll tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Let's not pay lip service to the greatest name of all times. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's not misuse his name today by simply paying lip service to it. But let's honor it by truly knowing who he is. Recognizing what he has done for each one of us. And living lives that bring glory and honor to him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your word brings new life into our lives. That it's sharper than a double-edged sword. That it speaks into the depths of our very being. So today, by your Spirit, whatever you have been whispering softly or shouting loudly into our hearts, our minds, our very souls, we pray that we would have the strength to rise up to respond to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But as we close today, we hear some words from the book of Ephesians. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask, seek, or even dare to imagine, to him be glory in the church throughout all generations. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.